Before we get started with this week's episode, we'd like to remind you folks that the Air Raid podcast is available at many places, including iTunes, the Stitcher Radio app for your smart device, CairoRadio.com, and the all-new Adore Network at Adore.fm. Let's get started with the episode. Hello and welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast. This is episode 269 in what is now officially considered a long and drawn-out series. I am your host, Aaron Roden, and this, of course, is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear holes. Yes, indeed, folks, we've got a veritable payload of awesome for your ears this week. Gift of Gab. Of the group Blackalicious. Just having trouble spitting that one out. Gift of Gab of the group Blackalicious. It's going to be joining us here shortly. What an honor. Oh my God, man. Oh my God. Another one of those groups that I finally found out about in college and have been listening to ever since. They've got a new album out. The first one in many years. It's called Imani, Volume 1. More to come. It's not called More to Come. They've got more coming. It's a volume one in a three-part series. All right? Imani, volume one, is out now. And you guys should go to blackalicious.com to find out more. And there'll be a link in the show blog or show description at our webpage at air-raid.net. So you can go and check that out. Like them on Facebook. Find all the stuff coming up with Blackalicious. They're on tour right now. Just played, Seattle last night from when you guys are hearing this. And then they go to Europe for a European tour through, October through November. So, man, they're going to be all over the place over there. France, the Netherlands, back to France, France, the United Kingdom, yeah, and then into Germany, Switzerland, Austria, and then they come home. So go to blackalicious.com/tour and find out about all the stops and go check them out live because it is a fantastic show, okay? All right. Now begins my, three-day jaunt into bachelor land where my wife and children are gone. And I thought to myself, today when they left, that I would enjoy this time alone, that I would be able to get some work done on the podcast, I'd be able to do a bunch of booking that I'm not able to do when I get home from work. From the day job, and I thought, yeah, this will be great because I've got a lot of loose ends to tie up, man. But God dang it, man! I was leaving my children today, saying goodbye, and of course they were preoccupied with the grandparents. They didn't even want to say goodbye to me. They didn't want to give me a kiss, say goodbye. They were busy reading with the grandparents, and it hurt. I've never experienced that before. It never hurt this bad. It was always like, yeah, I'll see you in a couple days. You know, I love you guys. I'm going to miss you. But man, it's going to be great to have some time alone. And this time it's totally different, man. I think I'm entering a new phase in fatherhood where I actually love my children. Great place to be, right? That was a joke, by the way. Of course I love my children. Come on. It's a podcast. There's no way for me to verify if you guys laughed at that. So I'm just gonna go with it, and believe that you did. Okay. Oh man, I am the king of making bad jokes about my kids, and I've noticed that when hanging out with other parents too. I'm just like I'm that guy, you know, that just say, yeah, kids, man, kids. Yeah, you know, maybe I'll say something wittier than that. But I always get strange looks from some parents who don't realize that I'm being sarcastic. And makes for a very uncomfortable scene. I think a lot of people now who are just meeting me feel like I'm a bad father. For that reason alone. I love my kids. I'm going to miss them so dearly. But, on the brighter side, I'll probably will sleep a full night, which is going to be much different than what has been going on in my life in the past, like, 2 years. So it'll be a good thing. That'll be a good thing. I'll be very, very well rested. Maybe get rid of some of these these big old, like, things under my eyes, these bags under my eyes, man. Maybe this will help. Hey, speaking of people that I met, my family and I, this last weekend, we're invited to a friend of the family's 60th birthday. And so, of course, we went. We had a great time. It was a wonderful day. It was beautiful out on Saturday here in the Pacific Northwest. It was just gorgeous, and it was a lot of fun. And free booze, okay? So that's and barbecue. Oh, man, had some great barbecue. It was awesome. But I was approached by a guy, and he came up. And apparently word had gotten out that I do somewhat popular podcast for CairoRadio.com, right? And so this guy comes up to me and he goes, man, I love your show. I'm a huge fan. I've been listening for years, and you're just you're great on the podcast and everything like that. And I'm like, oh, wow, this is amazing. And then my little heart, my little gray, crippled heart was just fluttering and so happy to meet a listener out in the wild at this birthday. And, the thoughts are swilling through my mind. Is like, okay, well, don't seem like, you know, you're enjoying this too much. Try to pretend that it happens all the time, you know, kind of something like that. Because I don't want to freak the guy out and just be like, oh, my God, this is so great. A listener, ha, 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 come and sit down next to me and talk and tell me how much you love me. That was exactly what I was trying to stay away from, right? And he proceeded, you know, to say that, that he loves every bit of it, and he listens every week religiously and stuff. And I said, oh, that's great, man. What's your name? And so he introduced himself. His name was Gary. And I said, oh, Gary, it's really nice to meet you, man. My name's Aaron, obviously. And he stops and he goes, Aaron. Oh. And I said, yeah, Aaron Roden. And he goes, oh, I thought you were Luke Burbank. Luke Burbank, of course, dear friend of mine, host of the show TBTL, Too Beautiful to Live, which is no longer at Cairo, by the way. They're over on Infinite Guest, over at infiniteguest.org. And you should definitely listen to his show because it's amazing and they are great and they have many more listeners than the Air Raid podcast, and deservedly so. And I think he noticed on my face, like, the moment that I realized that he thought I was somebody else was just, it must have been a look of sheer disappointment and sadness on my face that just crawled down from my eyes, like started going from my brow down to my chin, where it was just everything went from smile and excitement and beaming to just sadness and depression and just gross face, right? Just wrinkles setting in, age all of a sudden taking over. Just bad news. There you go. That's how my ego is doing this weekend. How's yours? I hope you guys all had a great weekend. Let's do this, shall we? Let's get into it. Let's listen to some music off of this new album, which is amazing. Imani, Volume 1 by Blackalicious. The first one out in many years. And remember, go to blackalicious.com/tour. Find out about all of the upcoming tour dates over in Europe. We've got some listeners over there, notably in Germany and Austria and the Netherlands. So hopefully you guys will go and check it out and spread the good word of Air Raid over there, right? Okay. This song is called The Blow Up. Oh, and this has an amazing video that goes along with it, using none other than Fantastic Mr. It's just scenes from Fantastic Mr. Fox. Remember that? The claymation movie by Wes Anderson? Yeah, it's fantastic. It's fantastic. Idiot. Man. I wish I was like Gift of Gab, and then I would have just a way with words, right? Then I wouldn't have to stumble over myself in the intros of the show constantly. This is a great conversation with Gift of Gab, and I hope you guys enjoy it. This song is called The Blow Up, and we'll be right back with more of the Air Raid Podcast for your ears. Stay with us. Cut a vent through your mental and dead thoughts. If you ain't about this lyricism, homie, kick rocks. Lick thought patterns, y'all get ready for the liftoff. Connoisseur kicking deadly predicates and sick vibe. Step into your village, set it off with this style. Now you eating humble pie instead of talking shit now. Set it off on give help, better run and get out. Rappers that attempted need the medical assist now. Get up on it, nigga, bro, it's so official. Never let up on it, I'm a flowin', blowin', just flow. Rollin' over that flow, rollin' over this flow. Pressure cookin' tension, overloadin', it's the big blow up. Everybody make way, it's the blow up. Everybody check it out, it's the blow up. One time for your mind, it's the blow up. Party people in the house, it's the blow up. Everybody check it out, it's the blow up. Make way, make room, it's the blow up. Everybody, it's the blow up. Check it out, y'all. It's the blow up. I blow the hinges off the door and make the roof crumble. And if suckers wanna rumble, then I take it to them. Ain't nothing they could think of saying, nothing they could do. Blinded and Ray Charles with rhymes of fury, I'ma make it do what it do. Sucker free, spot a fraud and shake a fool. Bring your lady to the battle with your boy, I'll take her too. Take her too. Take her to my crib and make a plate of food. Pimpin' while she went into me, what she really think of you. Every time you catch up with my rapping style, I make up new patterns, breaking atoms while I'm spazzing as I take your crew out. Peasant, kiss my pinky ring, I am a kick to you. Good and thorough, putting words together like I'm likes to use. I punish rappers with the things I do, spanking fools. Poet sound is gold and hold it down just like an anchor dude. Down a lyricism, how I rank and rule. Bringing fools to a higher level up without all of the dank and brew. They do what they be doing, think I'll make a new style of day. My lyrics stretch a mile a day. Hey, but who's counting? No, no doubt the flow and rhyme is insurmountable. The pressure cooker tension's elevating, it's about to blow up. Everybody make way, it's the blow up. Everybody check it out, it's the blow up. One time for your mind, it's the blow up. Party people in the house, it's the blow up. Everybody check it out, it's the blow up. Make way, make room, it's the blow up. Everybody, it's the blow up. Check it out, y'all, it's the blow up. Blow it up, the blow up. The blow up. Blow it up, the blow up. The blow up. Blow it up, the blow up. Blow it up.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Is that ever weird? Like, you basically changed your name.
It's my professional name, you know. So yeah. As an MC, people either call me Gift or they call me Gab, you know. So that's cool. Either one, Gift or Gab. Yeah. Either way, it was cool. Excuse my yawning, man. I have high blood pressure, so I just took some medication. The medication makes me sleepy, so that's why I'm a little drowsy right now. But we're cool.
What kind of medication do you have to take?
It's called clonidine.
Yeah?
Yeah. It just
that sounds like something that would just put you to sleep.
Yeah, it just regulates your blood pressure. Yeah. But at the same time, it makes you a little sleepy. You know?
Yeah. Get that mic a little closer to your mouth.
Check one. Yes.
Yeah. Well, I've been listening a lot to the new album.
Mm-hmm.
Is it Imani?
It's called Imani. Yes.
Imani?
I-M-A-N-I. Imani Volume 1.
Volume 1. So that means there's more to come.
Yeah, the first volume in a trilogy. It will be Volume 1, obviously, just came out. Volume 2 will be next year. And Volume 3 will be the year after that. So just look forward to a lot of music from Blackalicious in the next couple of years.
Yeah, and it's been a while since you guys have had a new album, too. Has it just been, like, straight you guys just working on this stuff, or what?
Well, we both, you know, we both wanted to venture into other things. I did two solo records, and then I did a record with Latif. Me, Latif, and the head nodded from Crown City Rockers formed a group called the Mighty Underdogs. We did that, and then I did two solo records. Chief XL has been producing for Lettucey, who's a phenomenal soul singer. Mm-hmm. And also he had a group with Hervé Salters out in Europe called Burning House, and they put a record out in Europe. And so we've been busy. We just kind of stepped
just
away
doing your own
from
thing.
Rockalicious. Yeah, for a minute. Yeah. We're both creative people, so yeah. We just wanted to both, and we both respected each other enough to give each of us space to go out and do other things. But then, top of 2012, it was just like, okay, it's our end of 2011. Really, it's just like, all right, it's time to get back to the mothership.
Yeah.
It was just time. You know, we never broke up or anything like that. You know, we're just creative people, man. But it was just time to get back to the mothership.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which you feel like that kind of helped you guys a little bit? Yeah. Like taking time off, doing your own thing for a little bit?
I equate it to traveling. You might love your city, but you get a broader perspective when you go out and you see other places. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the same thing. It's cool to work with, for me to work with other producers and for X to work with other singers, rappers, other kind of vocalists. Because you start to, because me and X have a chemistry, but when you go out and you work with other people, you start to see how different people vibe out and what their processes
right.
are.
Right. Basically,
like.
It forces you to figure out how to work with others, right?
Exactly. Yeah, and as a result, it gives you a broader view when you come back to do Blackalicious. Now we have a broader view, like we went out and traveled, and now we're back in our hometown, but we have such a broader perspective of the world that we live in.
That's nice, man. I like that. So where did this all start for you, Gab? Where did rapping start?
For me, it started at the age of 12.
Yeah?
You know, it was just the culture was just prominent where I lived. I lived in the Valley section of Los Angeles, in the
born
East Valley.
Born and raised.
You know, it's a little more complicated for me because when I was 15, you know, my mother had passed away, and then I went
to
live
to
in
that.
Sacramento, and that's where I met Chief XL. Uh-huh. You know. And then, you know, after I graduated high school, I moved back down to Southern California. And then I moved back up and moved to Davis. And then now I've been living in the Bay Area for the last 20 years. So you could say I'm from all over California. But it started in my hometown. And uh-huh. hip-hop was just prevalent. MCs were battling. And as soon as I saw, as soon as I saw it, I kind of latched on to it, you know. There was this older MC, he used to come by and he used to pick victims every day. One day
to battle with?
Yeah, or no, just to come off the top of the head. You didn't even have to be an MC.
Yeah.
He would just destroy your character off of his head. And one day he did it to me, and that's when I went home and I kind of wrote my first rap in self-defense.
Yeah.
You know? And ever since then, you know. I've been writing rhymes. I started as a battle MC, obviously. It wasn't about making a record. It wasn't about making money or doing a show. It was just I wanted to battle whoever else rapped.
So walk me through that a little bit, man. This is a world that I know nothing about.
Oh, this is when hip-hop was still just a culture, man. It wasn't always like it is right now. Back then, it was just something the people in the neighborhood did, you know? Mm-hmm. And it wasn't about records. Once again, it wasn't about records. It wasn't about fame. It was just, for me, my biggest thing was just I want to be the best rapper on my block first. And then I want to be the best rapper in my high school. And then I want to be the best rapper in my city.
Yeah.
You know, and that prestige alone was what it was all about. It was all about battling and just having that respect.
So were there like actual competitions going on, like one would see in the movie 8 Mile or something like that?
Well, that happened later, but it was a street thing. It was just something you did, kind of like breakdancing. Same principle as breakdancing. You could be on the street and you see people. How old are you?
I'm 35.
Okay, okay. Well, you know, you see people breakdancing and battling, and it was the same thing with emceeing, you
yeah.
know. And then graffiti art was a big part of it, too. You know, it's a whole culture, and it started as a culture, and then it began to make millions of dollars, and now it's a business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you ever think you'd turn something you love and your art into a business?
Well, I knew what I wanted to do with my life at a very young age. I think
yeah.
I was back in junior high school, you know, I really was like, this is what I want to do. I would listen to records, you know, I would listen to Run DMC and Houdini and LL Cool J, and I would
yeah.
watch the movies like Crush Groove, and then I just knew that this is what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
I would see it, and anytime I hear somebody dope, it was just a feeling inside like, I'm going to do that. That's
yeah.
That's what I'm supposed to do. Yeah.
So what were some of your first rhymes?
I don't remember, man.
No?
That's too far back, man. I can't remember some of it.
You ever find like an old journal or something like that, or an old notebook,
but not
that
back
just has
from
all that
then.
Stuff?
No, we're talking about 83, 85.
Yeah,
man. I can't find anything from way back then. You know, that's too far back.
Because I come across old things.
Mm-hmm.
From, you know, that my parents have held on to or something like that. And I'll
right.
take my daughter and we'll go, you know,
yeah.
sift through some box at grandma and grandpa's house, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we'll find something that daddy wrote,
uh-huh.
you know, like a song or on the guitar or something like that,
yeah.
you know, from back in the day. It's just the most embarrassing fucking thing ever.
Hey.
Do you think if you found some of your old rhymes
mm-hmm.
that would be the case? Or would
you
still
know.
Be pretty proud of
I thought they
like
were
that?
I think I'd be pretty
yeah.
proud because, you know, I've learned, being an artist, I've learned that, you know, as an artist, you're always growing. I was just talking to a young artist about this
mm-hmm.
the other day. And when you constantly are growing. So whatever you wrote a week ago, the following week, you've grown a week as a person. So you might look back like, oh, if I did that now, I'd do it like this. You know, so I've learned you have to do what you, as long as it gives you that initial feeling, let it go, because I'll overthink something and
yeah.
never get a song finished.
Sure.
Because I'll
sure.
continue to add on to it, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So take me back a little bit. Like you were saying earlier that you grew up in.
Hold on 1 second. Yes!
Can I open?
Yeah.
Let me make sure everybody has some wristlets.
Oh, gotcha.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So you grew up in the Valley in
yeah.
California.
Mm-hmm.
Was there a lot of music going on in the house?
Oh,
were you surrounded
house,
by that?
Definitely,
yeah.
man. It was
yeah.
my my mother's big gospel person. So
yeah.
it was a lot of gospel. And then it was a lot of Motown, Stevie Wonder, Diana Ross, you know, a lot of Motown, a lot
sure.
of, you know, Jacksons, Jackson 5, things
mm-hmm.
of that nature. You know,
yeah.
it was a lot of music in my house.
Yes.
My sisters all pretty much were singers, you know. My two older sisters were singers. And then my younger sister would join in at times, too. She's not younger than me, but the youngest of my three sisters.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, they actually had a group back in the days, and their man
really?
Used to come by, and they used to practice in the garage. And yeah, very, very much music.
Oh, so you were surrounded.
Big thing in my family, yeah.
Yeah.
I got the type of family in Christmas time, we would really sing carols. We would sit in the living room and just jam carols,
yeah.
you know, yeah.
Just
yeah.
a cappella, or you got yeah. a piano in there or something?
A cappella. I just said people, and then everybody would just clap. You know, I got a lot of people in my family that just love to sing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
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 That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes for a good family outing. Or
definitely.
Not outing, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
Gathering.
Yeah, we would just
yeah.
be chilling and sometime, and people would just break in the song and everybody would join in, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. So
yeah.
what happened with your sister's group?
Well, you know, they had kids and life uh-huh. happened and, you know.
So wait, they were like
good,
together for a while
they
then.
Could definitely. Well, this is when I was a kid.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
This was a long time ago, you know. But I know they were really good. They were really good, and you know, they had a manager and was going to try to get there. But like I said, they had children, and life kind of took over, and you know, but they still love to sing.
Yeah,
they,
yeah,
yeah.
They got to be pretty proud of you, man.
Definitely, yeah. Definitely, yeah.
So is that those you're one of four siblings?
Six. I'm the youngest.
Six.
Yeah, I have two brothers, two oldest brothers, and then the three sisters, and then I'm the youngest. Yeah.
Well, wow, man. Yeah. How's it being the baby of that family?
It's cool, man. Yeah? You know, yeah. We had a lot of good times growing up. Yeah.
Didn't get picked on.
Sometimes, you know, but that's part of it. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, amongst the singers and everything, was there a lot of musical instrumentation going on as well?
Not a lot of instruments. More vocals, more singers, more singing, and vocal things.
Yeah. So you were basically surrounded by people that were using words for art, which is interesting to me because you do have, you know, for lack of a better term, a gift for gab.
Right.
on the microphone,
mm-hmm.
and that's something that I've never, I don't know, you know, other than speaking, have never been great at. Like even when I was like writing music and stuff, writing lyrics was always the hardest freaking thing to do, man.
Right.
You know, I mean, is it hard for you to do that stuff, or does it just?
It's what
flow
I love
naturally?
To do. You know, it's what I love to do. You know, sometimes I get in the zones where you know I'm maybe working on a challenging song, or I have something that I want to express, or something that I want to accomplish musically, and I might be challenging myself, you know, kind of like the song Alphabet Aerobics, or Chemical Calisthenics. Those were challenging songs to write, you know. But other than that, to me, it's about a feeling, you know. It's just, as I write, I feel, you know, and it's like the music made me feel a certain way, and then I just put words to it, you know?
Yeah. Right on, man. Right on. So does Chief come to you with like some beats or like the basis for the song, and then you write to it?
Yeah,
do you have to have something behind it first?
Most of the time, he'll bring me beats. He'll bring me what we call a clip, which is however many songs. And, you know, I'll write to the ones that I gravitate to the most. That's how we usually do it. And then from there, I'll put the lyrics down, and then he'll build the rest of the track around what I did lyrically.
Nice. And that seems to work?
Definitely. Definitely.
Yeah. So you're growing up. California.
Mm-hmm.
You said you were about 12 years old when you got the itch to start doing this stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
Do you remember the first time, like, you were talking about, like, when you first went back to, like...
It was a guy named Storm C who used to come, and he used to attack people lyrically, and one day he made me his victim. And after that, I went home and I wrote my first rhyme.
Yeah, you wrote your first rhyme. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, did you come back and try to battle that guy?
Yeah, and he would defeat me every day. The thing that was cool is I lived down there, and I moved up to Sacramento because I went to high school in Sacramento.
Uh-huh.
And then I came back down to visit, and I saw him, and he actually made a comment that kind of really boosted my confidence. He looked at me and said, "Man, you got better than me." And for him to say that, to me, I was like, wow. Like, I really tripped me out, you know? And I think that really shot my confidence up, too.
Right,
as well.
Right.
Yeah.
That's great. Now, when was that?
That was 83, man. It had to be like 83, 84. Yeah.
Oh, man.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah. So what did it feel like when you first, like, I mean, did you ever have a rap battle that you won, that you just, like, destroyed the other person?
Oh, yeah. I mean, after that, I just was beating everybody, you know? Yeah, a couple of defeats, you know, because you gotta earn your stripes. But for the most part, like, by the time I got to high school, I was the best rapper in my school.
Yeah.
You know, nobody could rhyme better than me in my school. So, you know, yeah.
Yeah. Did school fall by the wayside to
No, I graduated. I graduated from high school.
Yeah.
And, you know, I always knew what I wanted to do, though, you know. I definitely always knew I wanted to be an MC.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
Yeah. And you met Chief in high school as well.
Yeah, yeah. Chief XL. I came to Sacramento from Southern California. He came there from Oakland. And we kind of just bonded, man. It was a type of thing where, you know, we just realized that we both had the same kind of passion and the same kind of taste and vision for type of music that we wanted to make.
Sure.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that wasn't because some of the stuff that was probably coming out or starting to come out was gangster rap, right? Or stuff that was
well,
a little bit
that was like,
less positive,
you know, well,
right?
You're talking 87, so...
Oh, okay.
You're talking,
okay,
like, right... N.W.A. was out during that time. They had just come out, but gangster rap was not what it is now. Like,
yeah,
N.W.A.
Yeah.
was basically the first ones. They were the, you know, introduction to that style of hip-hop.
Sure,
you know?
Sure.
So, it wasn't, like, as saturated as it is right now.
Right,
know?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But, and then at the same time, you had N.W.A., but you had De La Soul, and you had A Tribe Called Quest, and you had Public Enemy, and you had Rakim, and you had all these other, like, hip-hop was so many different things. And Slick Rick, there was so many things, and it's going in so many directions, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah,
yeah.
Did you ever see, were you able to foresee how it was going to ultimately go?
Foresee?
Yeah, like you know, watching and coming up in that kind of scene.
Yeah,
were you able to see like where the rap community was headed?
No, you can never really see where it's heading. You kind of have to just let it evolve and let it go.
Sure.
As it starts to go, you can see what's happening, but you can't really foresee it. You know, it'd be different next year than it is this year. You know. It's really a lot of talented artists out right now, you know, like Drake, Kendrick Lamar, Chance the Rapper, you know, Homeboy Sandman, you know, it's a lot of good young talent right now, you know, and maybe 5 years ago I wouldn't have said that because I was starting to think, wow, everything sounds like it's garbage, but the difference between then and now is like right now there is a thriving underground.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
And it seems like... Like you said, it is thriving. It's getting bigger. It's getting more mainstream, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's becoming the mainstream to have more, I don't know, you know, for lack of a better term, a more positive message in some of these songs.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
I mean, I think that the gangster era, I'm not going to say it's over, but there was a point where that's what everybody was doing, like... The you know, if a little kid asked you if you was an MC, he would ask you how many times you've been to jail, and it was like that was the same thing. Like in order to be an MC, you had to be, you know, someone who'd been in jail.
Yeah,
you know, and I think that we're past that right now. You know, I don't think it's. I think there's still room for that, and there's still room for that story to be told, and it needs to be told. You know, because the great thing about gangster rap is that, you know. A lot of people, you know, America, it's kind of like a aspect of America that was swept under the rug before that nobody talked about. And we need to know that there are people living in these conditions in America and that this is the reality for people, you know,
in
certain aspects of America. So, you know, that's the story. That story needs to be told, you know. But I just got carried away and, like, people that weren't even living that lifestyle was trying to pretend like they were.
Sure. You know? And it became glamorized.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, when you say glamorized, you know, I think that, I don't know if it was glamorized. I just think it became too cliche. Like everybody was doing it. Too many people were doing it. Now, if you're I've always been a type. If you're like, because some gangster rap is some of my favorite hip hop. N.W.A., Compton's Most Wanted, Ghetto Boys. You know what Snoop and Dre have done. That's great music.
Oh sure.
My thing as an MC, I'm not, because a lot of people try to pit it like pit me against gangster rap, and I don't like that because at the end of the day, these are. My whole thing is, if you're telling your truth, you're telling your truth. If you grew up in a crime-infested neighborhood, and that's what you see, and that is you expressing your truth, that's what you're supposed to do. Music doesn't have to be positive or negative. You know, Depeche Mode is depressing, but it's beautiful at the same time. Music, only thing music has to do is be true, is be the truth. Yeah. And if you're living in a crime infested area, and then you come out and you try to talk positive, you're being fake. And if you're a positive person and you try to act like you're a thug, you're being fake. My thing is, people are people, and music is an expression of life. Just tell your truth, you know?
Yeah. I like that. So have you always been a positive person?
You know, I'm a human. I'm not perfect, you know, but, you know, I see life in a certain way, and I express that through my music, you know?
Yeah. I like that. Well, Gab, let's do this. Let's take our second musical break, and we'll be right back with more of the Air Raid Podcast for your ears with special guest this week, Gift of Gab of Blackalicious.
Given son, living one day at a time, battle rhyme, ripple when it comes. He is that inclined satellite, drifting to the unseen patterns of the magic eye. Listeners will succumb. Feel the sunshine beaming through the drum line. Newer life, it will reanimate a dumb mind. They used to bowl for Columbine, they uptied. Behold the rhythm, see out of the dark it come light. They used to say it was a dark world, the art spoiled and rotten. We plotting to regenerate the crop soil. The sun giver, given son, come and get it till it's done. If what you're living isn't fun, get rid of it and run to the sun giver.
Going to high school.
Yeah.
Great students. Artists.
Mm-hmm.
You decide to form the group Blackalicious.
Yeah, definitely. I was, I think that had to be 87 or 88.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah, I think it was 88. Yeah.
So this group has been together since 87, 88?
Yeah.
That's amazing, man.
Yeah. We've been a group since high school. Yeah, definitely.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That's amazing to me.
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
So has it changed much?
It's grown, you know, it's grown and it's evolved into what it is now, you know. And went from two young kids with, who had dreams and had creativity to, you know, to a group that's put out, just put out our fourth record and has traveled the world and have a worldwide fan base and continue to make music.
So what was the first show like, man? What was the first show that Blackalicious played?
I think the first show we did, we were in high school, and it was this thing. It was a thing called Black Family Day, and they held it in Davis, California.
And
I think that was the first show that we. It was cool, man. It was, you know, we were kids. You know, we didn't fully know what we were doing yet, but you know, I knew how to rap. X knew how to produce, had to DJ and produce. We got up there and we did a showcase. Yeah.
Were nerves a thing for you? Getting
at
up
first,
on stage?
Maybe, at first, a little bit.
Yeah.
I would think, particularly the first show, I'd never done it. Anytime you do something like that in front of all of those people for the first time, you're going to be a little nervous. But I've always been the type, once the mic's in my hand and the music's going and I'm flowing, I can get into a good song.
Well, I imagine you had tons of practice, too, right? You got people standing around you at school when you're doing the rap battle and everything like that. Yeah.
Before it was about doing shows, it was just, you know, you do it on the corner. It was, it was something you do on the sidewalk in your apartment building. You know, it was just a part of the culture.
Now, did you ever go, like, this is what I had in my mind when I was driving over here today. I was like, I was listening to Imani, and just like some of the stuff you are rapping, I can't keep up with it. Like, I've never been good at that.
Okay. Yeah,
I told Soup from Jurassic 5 that when I first like got into hip hop and stuff, it was probably my college years.
Right.
My friends gave me a CD of Jurassic 5, Blackalicious, Mos Def, and some other stuff.
Yeah.
And I would just sit in the back of the car and they would be like rapping along with you guys. Uh-huh. And I'd just be acting like I could keep up in the back seat. So when you're writing this stuff, I mean, do you ever have to like consult a thesaurus or a dictionary?
Nah.
Do you ever do that kind of thing?
Nah, it's like I said.
Your head is just full of these words.
It's and it's just, you know, the thing about being an artist, any kind of artist, whether you're a singer or whether you're a painter or you draw, what artists do, kind of in the same way a comedian does, is just observe.
Yeah.
You can't run out of ideas as long as you're living, because each day is new experiences. So as you observe, as you live, you observe people, places, and things, and you write about it as you go.
Yeah.
You know, you can't really run out unless you kind of some way you stop living, you know?
So so when did Blackalicious start really taking form? Like, you know, you started in high school, but when did it become like a thing that you knew was gonna work out?
Well, I would say, you know, we kind of didn't ever. We kind of always knew it.
Yeah.
And see, we didn't. We came up. And we put our own music out, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Shout out to the rest of our crew. You know, DJ Shadow, it's a guy named DJ Zen. It was a guy named Jazzbo, Latif, obviously. Later on, Lifesavers. You know, we met the Lifesavers. And you know, in the very beginning, we were just some young kids who was like, we're dope. We got talent. Let's not wait. Let's not go to a label. Let's put our own music out. You obviously a bunch of them were in school and had college grants and had that kind of money for college, and they just took their grant money and put it into investing in a label and started putting out music, and you know, luckily it caught on, and it caught on quick. You know, the first single was DJ Shadow with Lyrics Born on the B-side.
Yeah.
And then obviously Blackalicious came right after that with Melodica, with Swan Lake and Melodica. Uh-huh. And, you know, we were getting, you know, people were liking it. You know, the college radio DJs were playing it.
Yeah.
It was getting great review, and it just took off from there. So it was never a point where it was kind of like, it was always annoyingness. It was never a doubt.
Yeah.
You know, but it, yeah. And it was just kind of like, and once we pressed up our first records, it was kind of like, yeah, this is dope. They're going to feel it. And luckily they felt it. And then,
yeah.
And then from there, you know, we put out our EP and Latyrx put out Muzappers. And then Quantum became like this hub, like this, you know, special label in Northern California that people were paying attention to. And then after Blackalicious just put me out, our first album, we sold 50,000 copies, which was really a great feat at that time. And that's when we signed with MCA Records.
Uh-huh.
And we had our first major label.
Was that an exciting thing for you?
Yeah, that was incredible, man.
Yeah.
I was kind of like, wow, the dream is coming true.
You know? Now it's like, yeah, truly.
Yeah, like now we're really official now. We're on the same label New Edition was on. Wow. You know? It was great.
Yeah.
It was great. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what was it like putting pen to paper on that contract, man?
It was good. It was, like I said, it was a good time because it just felt like the hard work was paying off.
And it felt like it was supposed to happen.
And like it really, like, wow, dreams really come true. Like if you put your mind to something and you focus on it and you work at it, it comes into fruition.
Uh-huh.
You know? That was the feeling during those days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when did the relationship with MCA end, though?
It ended, that's the crazy thing. It ended like towards the middle of the push of the record.
Oh, really?
Well, this was during the time, you recall when all of the labels got bought out and they were closing down. It was part of that. And unfortunately for us, MCA happened to be one of those labels. And one day it was just like, there is no more MCA. But it was still good for us. The next record we put out, after Blazing Arrow, which was on MCA, was The Craft, and that came out on Anti, which is a larger indie label. But the great thing is that, you know, we brought that with us. We went from, you know, being super underground to having a video and, you know, a little bit of radio play and expanding our fan base. And now we're independent again, but we've got this bigger fan base. And we've kept it going from there.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, was there, I mean, like I said before, you're a very positive, you seem to be a very positive person. You like to,
I try to be, man.
Look at the positive in life is what I'm getting.
Look, man, you're spending how long? About a half hour, 45 minutes with me? Be around me for a day. No, but I try to be a positive person.
Yeah.
As much as I can.
But when MCA kind of folded.
Yeah.
When all that shit was happening.
Yeah.
I mean, that must have been kind of an ego hit.
Well, when we first heard it was. But then we just continued to create.
Yeah.
And we felt like, and we realized, was, hey, we're still making good records. And now we've got this bigger fan base. So now it's even better for us. And it might be even better to be independent because, you know.
You got more power to do what you want.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's kind of how it turned out.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good, man.
Yeah.
And so now, I mean, you know, fast forward to today.
Yeah.
You guys are you know, an international act, traveling around the world, taking your art to different people.
Yeah.
Man, that's, I mean, what an amazing feat.
Yeah, definitely.
To go from high school.
It's a blessing.
Starting a thing in high school.
Yeah.
To this.
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely a blessing.
Man. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you ever look back and just go, holy crap, we did that. We did this.
You know, it's never any time to, because you're constantly working on the next project and moving towards what the next move is and what the next record's going to be or the next sound. And, you know, yeah, you kind of, you know, we're constantly, when once we finish an album, we exhale for a second and then we begin thinking about the next record.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
What do you
do? I'm always thinking about what my next record is going to be and what the sound's going to be and constantly writing and revising and yeah.
Yeah. What do you do on your off time?
Off time? Is there any off time?
You got to enjoy something, man.
Yeah, you know,
other
I enjoy
than
things with normal people do. Movies,
yeah.
You know, family, you know. You know.
What's your go-to genre of movie?
Movie? Anything. I like comedies, though.
Yeah?
I love comedies and, you know, I love real life stuff that's based on real life stuff, like documentaries or like just reenactments, like movies like Ray and Ali and, you know, and
Did you see Straight Outta Compton?
Oh, I loved it, man.
Really?
Loved
Was it good?
Movie. Yeah, excellent movie.
I'm looking forward to that one. I got to see
that.
Yeah,
I saw that as soon as that came out. I think I was in the movie theater watching it like within 2 days after it had premiered. Yeah.
Did you hear about the controversy behind it though?
What?
Like they were saying that, you know, because it was written by, I believe it was written by Dre and Cube, right? That they kind of skewed the story a little bit to make it a little bit nicer. Like they were. You know, because there was apparently a bunch of stuff about Dr. Dre
that
kind of came out.
Who wouldn't
later.
Do that, you know?
Oh, of course.
I mean, if you're writing a movie, you know, I mean, you know, you tell the story how you want people to see
sure.
it. You
sure,
know? You just make sure you, in general, you stick to the truth, you know? Yeah, but it's a movie, you know? Yeah.
You ever interacted with those guys?
Before. Nah, man. I'd love to, though. I'm big fans, man. I grew up on their music. So, you know, I'd love to chop it up with them. But, you know, haven't had a chance to yet. Yeah.
Well, I hope that day's coming, man.
Well, we'll see. You know.
Well, Gab, thank you so much, man.
Yes.
I really appreciate this. Thanks for taking the time to chat with me.
Right on. Thanks a lot. Thanks for coming out, man. Thanks for your time as well.
Yeah, for sure. All right.
I feel like I'm on a quest. I'm on a quest to like only have just fantastic, wonderful people on this show, and I think it's working. It's working, man. Gift of Gab, everybody. What a great dude, and just so amazingly talented. And he knows it, right? I mean, he knew it from a little kid. From the time he was a little kid, he knew what he was going to do with his life, and he put his attention into that and all of his energy and made it happen. And, man, I love those stories. I love those stories. Oh, my God. You guys got to get your hands on this new Blackalicious album, Imani, Volume 1. Let's see. First part in a 3-part series. It is so good. The whole thing is good. We've played a smattering of it on this episode. The second song at the midpoint of the episode you heard was The Sun. And we're going to go out with another one, another new track off the album. The album is out now. And you can go to blackalicious.com and get yourself a copy. Or to your local record store. Yeah, do that. Get it on vinyl, man. I think it's on vinyl. I hope it's on vinyl. That would be great. Yeah. God dang it, man. Blackalicious. That was awesome. I was really, really... I don't know if this came through, if you guys could hear it, but I was very nervous. I was very nervous for this. And Gifted Gab was so nice and just chill and everything. He made me feel much better. Made me feel much better. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I know I did. I've got my sheet right over here. I'm going to grab this thing. Got a lot of great stuff coming up on the Air Raid Podcast. If you like this episode, go back, go visit us at www.air-raid.net and check out the Archives tab. And check out, if you're into hip-hop, we've got, Shabazz Palaces, Soup from Jurassic 5, Raz Simone, Macklemore. Who else? Who else? Blue Scholars in there as well? Man. All 269 episodes right there for your listening pleasure. Okay? Yeah. Comedians like Bob Saget,
Jim Brewer from SNL, you know, Goat Boy, Half Baked. Yeah, all that good stuff, man. Death Cab for Cutie, Pearl Jam, Mudhoney, Sebado. It's all right there, man. All right there. Presidents of the United States of America. Right there, man. Duff McKagan, founding member of Guns N' Roses. I'm just trying to waste time right now, you guys. I'm just trying to waste time. Oh, my God. You can subscribe to the Air Raid podcast on iTunes. And if you do, please take a moment to rate the show. It only takes a couple seconds. And giving us a star rating actually does help in the long run. We are also available on the Stitcher, TuneIn, Cairo Radio apps, and also the new Spreaker app. We're at adore.fm, folks, on the new network. Or just visit us at www.air-raid.net to subscribe directly to our RSS feed. Keep in touch by liking our Facebook page at facebook.com/theairraidpodcast and get all the updates right there. Or find it on Twitter at airraidnet, one word. Or you can email me directly, aaron@air-raid.net, and tell me what you think of the show. If you want to give us any constructive criticism, we'll take that as well. And remember to take the pledge, folks. Take the pledge to tell somebody about this show. Tell your friends, your sister, your mother, your brother, your father. We'll even take your cousins. Tell them what you heard on the Air Raid podcast. And you heard this awesome talk with Gift of Gab from Blackalicious, right? Yeah, tell them about that. All right, we're going out today, this week, with the song, let's see if I got it, That Night by Blackalicious. Oh my God, have a great week, everybody. We'll be back next week with an all-new episode of the Air Raid Podcast for your ears. Thanks for listening. Have a good one, everyone.
Sorry for the theatrics, but I had to act quick. Tonight, anything you want, just ask. And if you play a couple songs, I can pay you in cash. And as I reach the call jumbo, I can hear him up close saying,
first you in too, let's give him a little dose.
Like, while the crowd unifies and fireworks illuminate the sky, an amazing ride. You couldn't beat the price, man. Miracles never cease in life.
Oh, what a night. We make the most of every moment, what a night. So amazing.
Now Gab told Verse and Verse told me.
Yeah, word is it's popping over on Bourbon Street. I'm about to dip, maybe find me a treat.
Aight, me too, boom back around three.
Big brother G.A.B. was styling major. Versatile said jumbo, make a move it. So I thought about a style with a Kool-Aid smile. Word up, my crew already knew it. Now you know you're gonna stress. Shorties wanna sex. XL was getting live on the two decks. You've been begging and crying for somebody's rhyming to set you free. For God so loved the world, he gave you three MCs that do it so greasy. Tell you about the night we blew the Big Easy. Dip off stage for some good Creole eating. Compliments of Brook Billion over NVIP. Mardi Gras beads, he bow tie invested. Meet up at Tipitina's at 3, he suggested the streets now. Balconies a crazy crowd, it flashed the verse saying,
next bucket list out.
Who that?
Who that?
Whole house of blue screaming.
Do that, do that.
Yeah, that's my Quantum crew teaming.
A dime caught feelings, now I'm scheming. Look, you had to be there to get my meaning.
Oh, what a night. We make the most of every moment, what a night. So amazing. Oh, what a night. We make the most of every moment, what a night. So amazing. Oh, what a night. We make the most of every moment, what a night. So amazing. Thank you.